today on Doomed! What is up, everybody, and welcome to the latest Doomed live stream episode. We have something very fun for you all today. Well, maybe fun isn't. It's one of the words we can use to describe it. It's not exactly all fun, but it is about a cult. And, you know, cults can be fun. That's how they get you to join. So let's introduce today's guest because, you know, this is going to be, you know, on this show we do sort of talk about cults on this show. You know, the past couple of episodes, and the reason I invited my guest today, who, let me introduce first, Brock Wilbur. He is a writer, comedian, and all-around fun guy. And I'm putting us up on the screen now. Here we go. Sweet. There we are. And, you know, today on the show, like I mentioned before, we do talk about cults on the show. When we talk, in the past few episodes, we've done, you know, on the far right, we've done the alt-right, we've done straight-up Nazis and white supremacists who aren't afraid of using those words to describe themselves. We've talked about the international dark web, or the intellectual dark web, I'm sorry. I forgot what they were actually called because I've been referring to them as I demand wedgies, because that's what they are. They're a bunch of nerds who want wedgies. And so I thought we would break up that, you know, that complete, I guess, you know, we were in just one world right there. They're all in the same world. And we focus a little bit more on a classic cult, you know, one that has sex slaves, human imprisonment, branding, you know, the fun stuff that we don't get to talk about with the right wingers. But they may be on their way there soon, too. So we might be talking about Jordan Peterson's, who knows where Jordan Peterson might go. I mean, it is a little, it is headed in that direction, I think. So, Brock, now that I have rambled for a bit, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. And to tie into your Jordan Peterson thing as we were prepping for the show, you have a t-shirt on that says The Unseen. Based on how it was cropping out, it looked like it was an unseen shirt that actually read The Incels. And I was like, what a fucking cool tie-in shirt. I really want just a bunch of incel shirts in punk rock band fonts.
How great would a band name that be? You're right, The Incels.
I think a hard driver, one of those really funny satire sites, put out a call recently. They're like, "Hey, are there any good like incel punk bands?" It's like, man, that is a tricky question.
Right, man. I'm now inspired though to go out and like start a band called The Incels. And based on what you just said, maybe I could even crowdsource some good punk rock esque logos.
We'll just do music under like Jordan Peterson's audiobook.
Yeah, you could probably just name all, like, create 12 songs and name all 12 tracks after the 12 rules. Right? I mean, that would be something.
This is such an upsettingly good idea. This is one of those things that, like, there's just a pause and you're like, are we going to actually fucking do that? Like, let's not, we shouldn't, but somebody has to. And maybe it has to be us. This is a very Spider-Man scenario.
Right. Like, I can't think. It's the only way to tell young men in the world today, in a cool way, to clean their room.
My God.
Turn it into a punk song.
I do genuinely hate how, like, the references that we get at this point about, like, just how, like, it is like that intellectual dark web thing, like the number of references that they make to their own work in there that I'm like, I've already got jokes for that. And in my friend group and maybe across much larger swaths of people, like, we know what they're talking about because something can spread on Twitter so quickly. Like last night we had a gentleman who said the N-word is like being a straight white male right now. And just like, that's a reference. We all get that reference right
all
now.
Right.
That's
I saw that. What is that? What do you think? Why would you write that?
Even the dictionary Dictionary.com's Twitter was dunking on him. I was like, come on, man, don't. I've never seen a 10 tweet story where each tweet in all 10 tweets was getting the ratio. Like, I was like, it's actually magic. That's the unicorn of this.
Right, right. Like, last night I went and saw the new Avengers movie.
Oh, cool.
And while I'm in the movie theater, that's when I came across that. Like, right before it started, that's when I came across that tweet. And I've been wanting to see that movie for a while, but, you know, MoviePass makes it really hard to see, like, movies when they come out because if it sells. With MoviePass, it's cool that you can spend $10 a month and see a movie a day, but you can't buy tickets in advance. So you have to go and get them before the movie, which means...
No one knows you have to be, like, geolocated at the theater lobby. That threw me, too.
Right. So I've been missing out on The Avengers till last night. Finally going to see it. That tweet pops up right before the movie starts. I was almost a little disappointed. I was sitting in the movie theater. I couldn't respond. Didn't have the time. I was like, shit.
The stuff that's happened over the last 2 years where it's been, like going into a movie or, like, going into a concert, and it's like... Hey, guess what? He just fired the head of the FBI. And you're like, and now Jonathan Colton's going to sing some songs. Like, I'm just not in the right space for it anymore. Like,
right.
Thanks, Trump.
Right. It's crazy. Just, you know, it's cool to be connected, but also it sucks. Like, we can't enjoy things without some sort of horrible news popping up on our phone. And of course, you hear that ding and you got to check it out because who knows what it might be. You can't just be like, because that ding you missed that day is going to be the one that's like, oh, missile headed towards New York City or Los Angeles.
The missile is the one. We buried my grandfather on Tuesday morning, and as I turned off the phone and put it in my wife's purse, she whispered to me, you know he's going to fire Mueller the moment we get in there. I was like, right. God damn it. You're probably right.
Well, my condolences, but.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice. So you brought me here to talk about a cult.
Oh, right, right, right. So as everyone knows, the royal wedding was today. And
high five.
There we go. And, you know, it was something to wake up this morning and see a line of people just waiting to see two strangers come by in a horse for 5 seconds. Didn't mean, it's not like you wait in line to go actually see the wedding. You wait outside the place and they come by in a horse and carriage. And that's why you just slept outside for 48 hours. Like,
it's to see the horse. There's only one horse in all of the UK. They were very excited to see how all four of its legs move together.
Right, right. People in Britain never seen a horse before. Right. That's why. But okay. now that we've pointed out that basically all these right wingers and including even the royal wedding is all very cult-like. Let's get to an actual, classic, genuine, bona fide cult. And there's tons of shows out there. It seems like it's probably the most popular type of podcast genre right now that talk about cults and everything. So to talk about this, you know, my listeners might be wondering, this isn't pegged to, you know, the rise of the right or internet conspiracy or Donald Trump or terrible Democrats or how the Republicans are killing us all today. Well, you'd be surprised. That doesn't checkmark them all. Let's get that up front. But you'd be surprised just how many checkmarks we will get. Because let's actually start with how you, a writer and a comedian, got pulled into this world. And here's probably the biggest peg to really make people understand why we're talking about it on this podcast. And that's a fake news website.
So my story is pretty straightforward. During the election, like a lot of other people, me and my wife became very activated politically in a way we never were because we never had to be. It was very easy to not have to care about stuff every minute of every fucking day and to not give yourself a civics lesson every morning when you wake up about why this is bad on a historical scale. So after the election, I was like, we did a lot for the election. And hilariously, my wife and I worked a polling location in North Hollywood for the election. And we were like, it's our first time volunteering at a polling location. Like, we just love supporting the democratic process. And then that night, as we left and got our phones back and saw the results pouring, we were like, fuck democracy. That was not worth our time. No, I wanted to support one kind of democracy. And the best thing I got from that day was actually, like, you could visibly tell who was walking in to vote for Jill Stein, because they were all like teenagers who couldn't figure out how the ballot worked and needed you to come in and help them figure it out. I was like, it's important that your vote counts too.
Right.
So,
well, in California, it is safe for them to do that. So
So
I'll give them, we can give those guys a pass on that one.
I genuinely hoped that some of them had done that thing where there was the website where you're supposed to trade your vote with somewhere else in the country. So the election happened. I was like, I have to do something that means more. And I come from central Kansas. My family, after the inauguration, was selling, sharing stuff with me that my mom was like, oh, hey, did you see today, the day of the inauguration, like, Trump killed all five of the top ISIS leaders? And I was like, what website did you get that from? Does it end in .com? And she's like, no, it ends in like .nz.dz.mk. And I was like, so okay, it's from North Korea's MK Ultra program. That's not a great source to use. So and for years now, my family has been and it is a genuinely hurtful thing. I've watched them slip into a sort of madness during the Obama years, from leaving Fox News on in every TV in their house all day long. At one point, I was flying out to New York City to do a gig, and my mom called me and was like, you can't get on a plane. And I was like, why? And she's like, I've just heard reports from Sean Hannity that Al-Qaeda has snuck across the Mexican border with Ebola that is hidden in Catholic communion wine, and they're going to release it on planes. And I was just like, I need you to stop and sit down and really examine the words that came out of you there about Al-Qaeda, Catholicism, and illegal immigration. I was like, oh, this is a thing. I was just like, fake news matters. So my wife found a job listing, and it was for a new job at a new company that had money. And they were like, what we're aiming to do is to stomp out fake news. And I was like, oh, shit, that matters to me. I want to do that.
Right.
And so I applied for the job, and they were like, we would like to hire you. And we had this back and forth, and it was really cool. The weird part was that they were called the Knife of Aristotle, which I was like, what's up with that name? And I asked what the name meant, and I got an explanation back that was like 8 paragraphs. And I was like, yeah, I don't care that much. I'm just, if you're going to pay me and we're going to do something good, it might be fine. So I was about ready to take the job. And right before I did, they were like, hey, so just like before you do so, just come out to the woods here in Albany. We have a 5-week training program. It's unpaid, but you have to do it before we can give you the job. And I was like, I've been in journalism for like 10 years now. What is the program? They're like, it's an ethics training program. I was like, for 5 weeks? And they're like, why are you asking so many fucking questions? Just come to the woods. Just come have a fun woods time party. And I was like, it strikes me odd that you're bringing journalists out, but you're mad that journalist type people would ask so many questions of you,
right,
about 5 unpaid weeks in the woods somewhere outside of Albany.
First of all, that to me, asking a journalist to pay for travel and do something unpaid for 5 weeks shows to me they do not know how much money journalists have.
Well, ostensibly there was a thing that they're like, we're not paying, but we have like people that you can stay with, and like we have scholarships. We have scholarship options because people pay to take this training course. They pay thousands and thousands of dollars to do so, and we're letting you have it for free. So basically we're losing money on letting you come out here to the woods. So I was like, this is all weird. And my wife and I got really sort of obsessed with it. We're like, wouldn't it be funny if this was a cult? And then we followed the money on it with some friends that were equally obsessed. And we're like, shit, it is a cult. It's a real, actual cult, a cult that has existed in the open for a very long time. And just no one's done shit about it. And that led to basically the last 2 years of my life, because what happened was we followed that money, and I found out about what this cult is. And the cult is Nexium, and listeners to the show will probably know Nexium because suddenly it is very in vogue because they were running a sex trafficking ring that involved some B-list celebrity actresses. They were forcing women to brand themselves with the leader's initials, and the leader just got arrested a couple of months back. So moving back a year and a half, I wrote about them, and I wrote about them knowing that the only other journalists to ever write about them were just nuisance sued to death. Like, they just had lawsuits kept in court forever because the cult doesn't consider themselves a religion. Cool power move here. They call themselves a multi-level marketing organization. So they'd rather be a pyramid scheme than a cult, which is already who would prefer that thing? That's fucking insane. But by calling themselves a business, anytime inside information leaks out, they can sue people because they're like, you're revealing important business documents, not like religious stuff or like cult shit. It's part of our business model. And since like the late 90s, they've been suing people over that, which is one of the ways that they're super dumb, but also like have this clever twist on something. And you're just like, why are you guys always like somehow one step ahead of everyone else? So I wrote about them in Paste magazine, and it was a big to-do, and I was like, okay, this is fun. And then it wasn't fun because they started sending private investigators to follow me and my wife around Los Angeles.
Oh my God. Let's hold for 1 second here. Let's just go back for a bit. So far, there's a number of things going on here.
Yes.
So to me, like when you were telling me about, you know, a journalism school in the woods to ostensibly one day become a professional writer for their startup news website that specifically covers fake news. You know,
right.
So far, sounds to me that not much of a difference between, say, Al Giordano's journalism school. And then we get to the part where you mention that you've discovered that there is a cult behind it, a real cult. But right. Instead of going the religion route, like, say, Scientology does, they go the business route with a multi-level marketing scheme. And that to me is really – can you go a little bit more into that, actually? Because is there any, like, sort of other example in the history of these sorts of cults or weird following or like, you know, leaders that have done something that way? Because I'm trying to figure out, like, it seems like the reason they cults go the religious route is because religion in this country, it gives you a certain level of respectability. It must be official and real because they're an official organized religion. But I mean, right. Multi-level marketing already has the scheme label to it. So why, if you're trying to hide the fact that you're scheming people, why just go out there and straight up say, like, I'm running a scheme, but it's a different kind of one, so maybe it'll hide my real scheme. Like, it's weird.
Well, I mean, Scientology tries to play both sides of it, and there's so much about Nexium that pulls from the playbook of Scientology, but a couple of other big standard cult things. And Scientology wants to be a religion because they need that religious tax exemption, which was always their big thing. Like, now we get to keep all the money. But they tell people, if you ask, that they're not a religion. So they really go both ways. Nexium is not a religion, but like, it is closer, I think, in many ways to, if you've watched The Americans, you'll know this group, EST, from the 80s, which was more of a like a It's a socially empowering group that is like, this is how we're going to do better. Like, the line between like motivational speaker and cult here is very thin, so much so that like the people running it right now, while the leader is in jail, one or two of them are actually touring motivational speakers who at the end of their motivational speaking thing are like, and to tie that back in, I wouldn't have been able to do it without Nexium. And people are like, I was with you 90% of the way. And then there was that thing at the end. There's a lot of good reasons to do it as a business, to not try to go the religion route.
So basically, if Tony Robbins was any weirder, that's what we're talking
about
here.
Yes. Oh, 5% more and Tony Robbins belongs right fucking here. Yeah, it's it is a lot about, one of the things that has been like the big thrust of the entire project, for me in the last 2 years of my life and interviewing these people and so on, is that everyone I meet that's come out of the cult or was in there is so fucking smart, and they're so fucking talented and cool and interesting. And like, there's a stereotype or an idea that I think I had and many people have in your head that like somebody that's going to show up and join a cult in 2018 of all goddamn years, is somebody that is the same sort of person that finds religion right now, who is like, oh, I'm drugged out, or I'm just like a fucking mess and I need somebody to give me some structure. And this is actually one of those things where like the cult uses somebody's strengths against them. They find all these really smart, interesting, talented people, and then they convince them that all of those strengths come from the cult. And if they were to leave, it would all be gone. And cool people, smart people can actually build that bridge in their head, and they're like, oh, you know what, this actually does come from them. And then you become so afraid that without them it's all gone, and that's, that part is sort of otherworldly to me. It's like, oh no, just like take a walk outside and you'll realize like everything that was cool about you is still there, and in fact they're them taking your money and running your life isn't helping anyone. So to answer your question, yes, there are people that go this route of the sort of business thing, and that's where this began. Keith Raniere, who was the head of the cult, he was on the cover of Forbes magazine a couple of times. People like Richard Branson have pointed to him and been like, that guy's fucking cool because he gave me a talk on business one day that made me better at business. Like, the whole thing started as this sort of business ethics motivational course thing, and that was a really cool front because, as I found out later, if I had gone to the woods to do this thing, I would be one of the guys that would work there now who basically provides cover for the other 90% of the staff who is female. So like, dudes that go out and do this stuff are just like, I don't know. At worst, it was weird. At best, maybe I think I learned something about myself, and like, that's pretty cool. And then that is used to help hide all the other abuses that are happening.
What you said about the people who join this cult is—it's actually fascinating to me. I mean, it seems like something that you'd obviously, not everyone who joins a cult you'd just assume is like, you know, out there and weird and not right. All there. But I feel like so many of these cult shows that have come out, especially with Netflix, I feel like there's a new one every week talking about some.
Are
new
you
cult.
Watching Evil Genius?
literally just started it. Just started it. Watched the first episode two nights ago, and I totally forgot about. I remember, like, because 2003, I was a lot younger. I was in high school, and I remember seeing that on the news with the guy with the thing around his neck, who was forced to rob a bank. And I guess being in high school, I sort of just saw the news that I was crazy, and then sort of just dropped out of it. And never thought about it again. But then to jump back into it all these years later, when I'm like in this world of covering things like it, it's like insane. Right. It's insane. It's like out of a movie. But like, to me, that's what's so interesting about what you just said, because a lot of those shows, whether they are talking about someone who they can't get on the show, like in that case where they can't talk about that pizza, they can't talk to that pizza delivery guy because he's dead, or Jesus. Like in a show where. The one about the I just started watching this one too. I should really finish watching these shows. So I, the guy from India who had that cult.
Yeah, Wild Wild Country.
That one, yes. They spoke to some people who were part of that group, and the people they spoke to were just weirdos. So it's like, you know, it's like you seeing these people, and they're like, well, of course they fell for this cult. They're already out there,
right?
But. Yeah, like, there's no way, and like you said, like, a lot of these people are talented, and they get sucked into this world, and they're, you know, they've got a very intelligent, very smart, and they get sucked into this world because they do lay it out as if, like, what would have stopped Richard Branson, except probably money, to have joined this cult? Like, if he wasn't insanely rich and was looking to, like, better himself, and he heard, the founder of Nexium's talk, and was told, you want to make some money and get even more successful, continue, join this plan, join this program or whatever. If he didn't already have all that money, what would have stopped him from doing that?
And it is like I do empathize, because I'm like, oh, I almost took a job there too. And the reason that some of these people lost a decade of their life, and the reason that I was in the place to be talking to them as a relatively well-rounded individual, was that they were promising that there was some version of, you're going to make the world better and you're going to make money while doing it. And that is sort of the thrust for everyone. And I talked to people that were in the group for so many years, and along the way, every time they had doubts, somebody would remind them, like, oh, hey, somewhere else in the world, there's this whole group of people that you've just helped. And it was often talking about, like, these out of the country expeditions or like nonprofit groups, that there was no proof any of it ever fucking happened. So you'd just be told, like, did you know that your work actually saved a village? Like, there's a whole village of people that wouldn't exist if you hadn't saved their life. And these people are like, oh shit. And there is that part of the goodness inside of you, but also half couched in ego, that you're like, well, if I'm doing good, I should continue doing good. Right. If this is where I'm doing it, I'm like, you know what? That's for a lot of things, that's a pretty easy trap. And I've talked about it other places, but like, we live in a time where when there's like a hurricane, I've got to check a bunch of different websites before donating money to anybody, because there's so many like either fake nonprofits or like things like the Red Cross, where you're like, is the money going there, or is it like 60% going to someone else or stuff? Like, we live in a time where it is even hard to send $10 via your cell phone and know that those $10 are going to go do any good. So when somebody comes out of the woodwork to be like, you could change the world, and he has 100 people standing behind him who say, like, yeah, come give this a shot, I recognize the seduction of that, and that seems really cool and interesting. And if somebody was capable of actually doing it, I'd do it in a minute.
And to combine what you just said there and what a listener on the YouTube live stream, Renee, just pointed out with her comment on codependency, you know, there is something there too about the organism, and this also factors in the religion part of most cults, again, not in this scenario, but the organizational sort of thing about cults, you know, an organized group of people who are coming together and working with you on, you know, these things that for the most part you believe or want to do, you know. Sure. you have a specific talent and you want to do
or
good
confirmation bias, you just want to. Exactly. Believe because you've already done it, or like you're 10 years it's like anyone from like the Going Clear doc, when they're like, okay, at the 15-year point after $150,000, Scientology tells you that it's about aliens, and you're like, ah, fuck, I guess I already put the time in. Let's go with it.
Right. And I'm dying to know if Nexium had any sort of big reveal like aliens towards the end of it. Does Nexium ever? Well, you know, if there is, let's tease it out, because I want to. Maybe we're in another dimension. Maybe we're in the Matrix or something. Who knows? But so let's get to let's go back now to where you've uncovered that there is a cult behind the Knife of Aristotle, this fake news site that you would apply to.
Right.
And now you're on to them. You're writing about them. You're one of the few who they haven't gone after legally at this point, because like you said, they right. have been using their business affiliation to legally go after people who have written negatively about them. And so now they've sent private investigators after you and your wife.
Yeah, I'm a 6'7" former football player. I don't think they took that into account when sending a couple of dudes that looked like somebody's middle school science teacher after me. They had it wasn't about intimidation so much as just like letting you know that they were there. I guess just direct intimidation. It was like I was like going to my local Subway to buy a restaurant or to buy a sandwich, and like there was a guy standing 10 feet away from me who had like a 2-foot lens on a camera, like you would use to shoot a bird on a mountain from 10 miles away. And he was just taking pictures of me ordering a sandwich. And I was like, yeah, I know, I eat tuna. Like, I don't respect my body. Fuck off. Like, what picture are you going to take of me that makes you not a cult anymore? I don't get.
Cause I was just about to ask you, actually, how did you know that there were, like, how did you discover they were private investigators?
Really fucking obvious.
Right.
Or like we were sitting at a bar at one point. I was talking to my wife, and she was like, hey, the guy behind you, every time you talk, he writes in a notebook. And when you don't talk, he's not writing in a notebook. And it's like, all right, I'm going to go say hello.
Did you ever get a confirmation from them or from Nexium that this was officially what was going on? Because let's play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Could have been really big fans of your Twitter work. At Brock Wilbur. Could have thought your jokes were funny.
Good plug. The guy with the camera at a different time ran away from me and hopped into a car where a friend was waiting and drove off as I was like, hey, come back. Let's have a chat.
Maybe a bit nervous to meet the great Brock Wilbur.
Perhaps. The other guy that was at the bar, I actually asked the bartender, I was like, hey, and I slid a note over, and I think she was like, is he hitting on me in front of his wife? And I was like, flip it over. And on the other side, I was like, hey, sorry that this is so weird. The guy next to me, I think, is a private investigator. Could you just pull up his name on his bill and let me know what it is? And she was like, cool, I will do that. And God bless her for doing so, because, like, immediately Googled him. And, of course, he's a guy that's tangentially related. I sent the photo to other people that had left. And like, oh, yeah, that's a dude here. And it's like, cool. Like, because there was also that thing of, like, did I just become so fucking paranoid? Because for like a month, I was like, I don't want to sign for Amazon packages. What if I'm signing for being like served with a lawsuit? And then I was like, oh no, these are real guys doing real fucked up stuff. Like I'm actually in it.
This honestly sounds like if I was in your situation, I would be like, am I living in a movie right now? This is insane. This is insanity. I mean, you're bringing up, obviously, like, you know, when you see private investigators in movies, it's over the top, I'm sure. But this sounds over the top. Like, if this Nexium thing didn't break through with these arrests, which we'll get to shortly, and the mainstream coverage, and you were telling someone that you were covering this cult, that and someone looked it up and found practically nothing about it, and you then tell them that you're being followed about it, they would think you were being paranoid.
Well, and that actually gets to one of, like, look, the guys that run this are fucking stupid. They're fucking dumb dummies. The people at the top are all like that dude that you went to college with that, like, read half of an Ayn Rand book, and that was, like, his peak, and he's like, I can survive off this at parties for forever. And one of the guys that they have that teaches some of these people things has admitted, like, we're teaching you Ayn Rand stuff, but I haven't read the book. Like, they've literally come out and said it, which I just fucking love. But they also do things that, like I mentioned before, that are really clever. Like, it's Nexium, NXIVM. And it took me a year of interviewing people to figure it out. They have explanations of what that's supposed to mean. It's short for some sort of thing on par with the Knife of Aristotle. The truth of the matter is, it's Nexium because if somebody were to tell you the name of the group is Nexium and you went to Google it, there's no association between those sounds and putting those letters together. It's impossible to Google it. And they actually, and to build on that, they also have centers in Central America and outside of the country and other non-English speaking places where, until very recently, there were no fucking websites that had any write-up about this being a cult in not English. So, like, there was no place to Google any of these things or to find this out. So you're absolutely right about that.
That's really interesting. That is, you know,
it's pretty smart.
Right. And, you know, talking about Nexium, like, you know, I had heard it mentioned in you know, news hits. You know, I've heard it mentioned when I was watching YouTube videos about it. But no matter how many times I heard Nexium, when I would come across it, reading it in an article, my brain just automatically, like, to the point where I've written here on a notepad doc, just so I would remind myself to constantly, you know, when I want to say the name of this cult, I would call it Nexium. I have it spelled out Nexium, NEXIUM. So I would remember to call it that. But they spell it, and I swear, if I didn't have this written in front of me, I would be calling them this, NXIVM. It's
Nexivim.
It's insane.
Nexivim.
Right.
Nixon.
Right. And you would think, you know, in a world of Google, you know, most businesses or anybody, even, you know, people who even have last names that are a little hard to spell and they want to build a brand where their name is their business, you know, people change their names to get, you know, easily Googleable names, or a business that isn't confusing. I mean, in the whole like web startup world, there was an issue for a long time about startups using like quirky spelled word, like dictionary words that, you know, you say it how the you know, it's said as a dictionary word, but spelled a little bit fun and different so they could get the .com. But then they would find that they were having problems with people finding them in Google, and they would have to spend the money to actually get the actual dictionary spelled word .com.
What are the SEO problems of a cult?
Right.
It's the reverse, because you don't want to be found.
But exactly. But then when you bill yourself as a business, it's confusing because, you know, why would you do that? If, you know, if you're someone who listens to a speech by one of these public speakers who are part of this cult, and they tell you about Nexium, and then you look it up and don't find anything, you think they would be, the cult themselves would be worried that there is no front end of the store to fool people before they get into the back room with the poker table that swings over and the sliding door behind the library, you know.
I appreciate your prohibition style escape room version of this. And that was I've talked to people that like actually went to the woods for the training for this the Knife of Aristotle thing, and they were like, no one would tell us who was funding this, and then we would find Nexium, and then we would Google it, and a number of them confronted people at the cult, and the cult's explanation was, excuse me, if we were actually a cult, why would we look so obviously like we're a cult? Which worked on some people, at least for a day or two. They're like, you're right. If they were actually a cult, why would they bring all these journalists here? That would be the dumbest fucking thing that anyone has ever done. But you nailed it with, like, there was no front of the store. Like, for this journalism site that stomps out fake news, there was a paywall, and behind the paywall, there was nothing, and there was never going to be anything. There was a lot of like, we're building this, but like, there's never going to be anything there. Just as they have a number of other fronts out there for things like yoga and acting. And also like one thing that's just about being like a male feminist but also like it's based in like this weird 1950s sexism. So it's like, if you're this kind of man, women will like you, but also the man in the marriage should be allowed to fuck whoever he wants. And you're like, what is happening? And they sent women to that program too, and women were on board with it. And it's just like, how does so much of this work? But you did ask the question of like, where does this go? Does it go to aliens? And the answer to that is so much worse. What the ethics training program is, and the basis of everything here that Keith has ever done, it's the backbone, it's their Bible. It's always been about truth, and it's about finding your truth. And your truth, it turns out, can be pretty fucked up. And the truth that you will find, and what they push as the truth of the universe here, is that like everything that has ever happened to you is your fault. Which is, it's not the worst thesis. There's ways that would work in someone else's hands. In practice, it was a way to explain to women that like, if you've ever been raped, that was your fault, and you need to accept that and explain to us in a public group setting how that is your fault. And so it breaks these people down into thinking that as soon as you can say that like everything bad that's happened to you is actually your fault, it becomes very easy to tell you like, this is what you need to do now, or else whatever happens next will be your fault. And that's where some of the control came in. But also that's where people overwhelmingly break from the training program, and they're like, wait, what about like a child born into a third world country where he's starving? And they're like, yeah, that's that child's fault. And they're like, that's that child's fault for being born. And they're like, yeah, that's absolutely true. And they have, and God bless them, they do the numbers on this pretty well, where as soon as somebody starts to be like, I don't know about this, they let them go. They just let them go. They know that like, we're not going to hold that person for 10 years. Like, they don't fight the big fights. They're more like the members of like KISS after a concert, being like, hey, who wants to fuck? Let's play the numbers game. And eventually they get some people. Like, if you have like a real, like, I don't know about this thing in your head, they don't bother trying to fight you. They won't hunt you down, but they will sue you if you try to say anything bad about them. So it's a weird, it's a weird mix of things. Like there's so much I understand about the numbers game that they play, but also the people that run it use all these playbook pages out of other more standard cults. Like there is a weird part of it that like everything about Nexium is so obviously a cult, in that same way that they're like, on day one, everyone has to go vegetarian, and without protein in your system, all of a sudden your brain turns to jelly. And then they start showing you hypnosis videos. And then by the end of the week, you're like, I don't know, just program something fucking up there and I'll be on board. And a lot of people I talked to were like, we hit Friday and I knew that if I was there on Saturday, I would be here for the next 8 years. And that's why I ran away in the night. And you're like, okay, so you could like feel it in your body and you could feel it in your brain. And you knew that this was all falling apart. Like that's really goddamn scary.
So let's get to, because I do want to talk about more about Nexium's, you know, what they have people do, what they did to people. But before we get there, because I feel like we do need this before we talk about that, is give me a little bit more about the background of the leader of Nexium, the guy who was just arrested.
So Keith is... Keith is the guy that they keep talking about as like he's the charismatic leader of the cult. Google Keith Raniere. He just looks like if Bill Gates took less care of himself. And you're like, how did this guy run a fucking sex cult? Like his face looks all melty and he parts his hair down the middle. And as my friend's sister said, you can't trust a man who parts his hair down the middle. I'm like, yes, that's absolutely the thing. He's just this guy. And he got started down this path and people just started listening to him. And one of the things that mirrors the Scientology level about the alien thing here is that there are so many levels within the cult and you can't talk to people above you. So Keith is at the center of this maze, which means that when you join the cult or even get in tangentially through their like acting classes or whatever, people start telling you that Keith is the smartest man who has ever lived, which we know now is not a true, because he definitely got like C's in high school. Like he's just not, that's not who he is. But if for 4 or 5 years, as you're working your way up this ladder towards the center, everyone keeps telling you that Keith is the smartest man who ever lived, by the time you reach the center and actually hang out with him for 10 minutes, you're just like, wow, that's the smartest man who ever lived. And it's a lot of the same thing as like how people think Jared Kushner was very smart because he didn't talk, because Keith doesn't talk either. Mostly he just sits and like nods and people are like, wow, what a smart guy, because he isn't just all jabberjaw. It's fucking insane how they built this guy up to be like, I don't know, he's probably going to change the world. And as long as you never have to hang around him or hear his thoughts, yeah, you can believe that pretty easy, which is what makes it so interesting that he's in jail now, because the entire time he's been doing this, he has had a woman in the shadows named Nancy, who is his right-hand person. She co-runs the cult. And for like 20 years, she's just sort of stood there and been like, yeah, I'm here. She also is the one that does all the hypnosis video stuff. She's way smarter than he ever was. She's way more dangerous than he ever was. And now she's running the cult while he's in jail. And she has access to all of his money. And as you brought up, Wild Wild Country has sort of a similar twist where the guy goes away and then the woman takes over. Nancy's right in that place right now, and that's what terrifies me so fucking much about the people that are left there, because no one really knows what Nancy thinks. If she believes in what this is, it would not shock me if she takes the whole thing Jonestown. Like, that's the most terrifying part, because she is an unknown. She is a total wild card here, but she has never been in power, and now the whole thing is hers. And it's like, well, okay, what happens next?
I'm not even that familiar with her. I think I came across her name maybe like just in passing in one article, like not even really mentioning like just who she is. And
that is the problem. She's been the co-runner. She's had just as much power as he's had, but none of the fame. And for years has just sort of like let this go. And also like she definitely doesn't want a sex trafficking ring. She's not here to like fuck sex slaves. She has something weirder or darker in what she's doing, and who knows what that is. But also, she has all the money he's been hiding over the years around the world that the government can't get to. So she has infinity money. She has all these people that are really dug in right now. They're still opening new centers for the cult right now. Like, nothing stopped when Keith got arrested. And that makes this all really scary. Like, a lot of people are like, Keith's in jail, Allison Mack is in jail, like they're going to go to forever jail together. Like, certainly that means the end of the cult. Like, no, it is still a religion. No matter what happens, there will be people that believe in it. But right now there are people that really believe in it, and there is a more dangerous leader of the cult. And I was like, we got to do something about that. So I'm hoping in the near future to have a way to finally interject in that way and help out who's left behind here.
You would think, like, from reading these mainstream article coverage, like their coverage of this whole Nexium situation, with, you know, the focus is on Keith's arrest and Allison Mack's involvement, and we'll get to her in a minute. But you would assume from reading these articles that Nexium is either dead or on its deathbed, like it's about to go. And you know, one thing that you mentioned was interesting to me was, you know, how different, I guess, Keith is from most of these guys. You know, I just was watching another show, Waco, and one of the things about that to me is that David Koresh just wouldn't shut up. Like, he just loved to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
So I want, and obviously a lot of these cult leaders have this sort of personality trait. So I wonder how much of, and like you mentioned, these guys have been very smart in how they make this play, doing things that most other cults haven't done or tried to do yet. I wonder how much of Keith's whole persona was developed by doing what would be unexpected from a lot of these cult leaders.
I got to run here in a second, but yeah, it's I don't know. He's a terrifying dude. I hope we have something we can do about this. If you're somebody that's out there that wants to talk to me about it for a future project, please get in touch.
Do you have a second to quickly just touch on Allison Mack?
Oh, I got to run real fast here. Thank you, though, bud.
Right. Hey, Doomed listeners, let me just cut into the live stream here for a minute and give you a small update. Our guest, Brock Wilbur, had to jump because he actually had a scheduled call with a Nexium survivor immediately after the interview. So he was awesome enough to fit us in, and I really wanted to have this interview up before A&D came out with their Nexium TV special next week. That's right, you may not know this, but the cable TV network A&D and Doomed are constantly competing with each other for ratings. Okay, that last part may not be 100% true, but it also may be true. It's up to you to find out if it's fake news. If only there was some sort of website that analyzed this sort of stuff to find out if it was true or fake. Oh well, anyway, back to the live stream feed. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brock Wilbur. He is a writer, comedian, and a general fun guy. I like to point that out because that's always fun to do. We had him for a very short amount of time, but well, not really. He was on here with us for 50 minutes. And we will, you know, he's been working on a project. He's been covering, he's been covering this for a number of months. I think something like 9 or 10 months. And we'll definitely have him back on to talk about this. One of the interesting things to me about this all, and I'll talk about it right now, is Allison Mack. She's a Smallville actress who basically was a part of this. And to me, one of the more interesting things about it was that if you look at her Twitter account, you will find a number of tweets sent out to, I think there was one to Christy Teigen, basically saying, hey, I have this great opportunity for you guys. You should contact me. I'm an actress as well. I'm in the entertainment industry as well. I'm in Hollywood as well. And this was a few years back before this all came out. And what we're discovering, obviously, is that after this all comes out about Allison Mack's involvement, is that she was trying to recruit these people. She was trying to recruit other people in the entertainment industry to join Nexium. I don't know if she wanted them to be Keith's sex slaves. They might have been a bit too higher up on the scale, the class scale that they whatever they had in Nexium to sort of, I guess, say who got to do what within the cult. But But the thing that gets to me here is that you hear have this Smallville actress who, and I have mentioned before, I think, a minor celebrity involvement, and I want to point out that she's the minor celebrity. It's not minor involvement. Her involvement in this was quite big. And she would literally recruit these women to join the cult and practically, you know, do things. There's all this information coming out that you can read online from people who are now coming out now that Keith's been arrested, where I guess they feel safe now that they've come out. There's issues of them being held against their will, issues of branding. You can see photos of different sort of Nexium logos or branding that they would ingrain and burn into these victims. And it's stunning to me that you think, you know, as of course there's still cults out there, but you do think, you know, 2018 with the internet and all these ways to sort of fact check and figure things out for yourself, that people would have the ability to not fall for these things. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Brock on specifically to talk about this this story is that it's clearly not the case. And the fake news aspect of Nexium is really what drew me into it. Because by starting a fake news website, what they're basically doing is they're basically saying, we need to control the media's coverage of us because we are aware of these things that I just spoke about. They are aware of these things and the challenges the internet poses to them. As Brock mentioned, Nexium would spell their name, NXIVM, so people couldn't Google them. And they were aware of the obstacles the internet and the ability for people to look into anything before they dive into it. So they tried to start this site, Knife of Aristotle, that pegged different news sources as fake news. It would give them like a rating on our scale. And there's someone on the live stream right now talking about Sam Cedar's cult. But getting back to this, if you control a site that basically tells people that, hey, this part of it, this news source that just covered us, but not mentioned that the reason you're pegging it as fake news is because they covered Nexium, this and also hide the fact that your news fake news site is a part of Nexium, obviously. So you have a fake news site, the Knife of Aristotle. You build it up. You have it be the authority for pointing out which stories, which sources, which news sites, which organizations, which writers are real, and give them an authority by saying they are a true, real, authoritative source to trust. And then you peg other news sites or writers or articles as fake news. And again, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to point out that this story on Nexium is fake news. In fact, they would probably want to ignore any Nexium coverage at all. But let's say, for example, the Huffington Post comes out with a story on Nexium. And what do you got to do? You got to do whatever you can to find that writer, to find other pieces that writer has written. Perhaps that writer has written on Donald Trump. Perhaps that writer has written on, I don't know, some sort of a celebrity that has a large fan base. And it was sort of a negative story on maybe something that celebrity did. Or you go after Huffington Post as a whole, and you basically point out, hey, that writer wrote this story, and this is fake. So you can basically say, all right, so that story on that celebrity that writer wrote, maybe that fan base will see that that's all bullshit, and they'll, you know, there you go, Knife of Aristotle has an authority now too, because people will believe that analysis. Or even in a broader sense, Huffington Post just in general to everybody now, because the Knife of Aristotle has built themselves up as being a legit source of pointing out fake news. Huffington Post as a whole to a broader audience can't trust it. And that to me was the real story of how Nexium reflects on a broader scale. Because Nexium in and of itself is a crazy story on a specific cult, and also if you're covering the world of, I guess, your classic sort of cults. But then when you throw in that fake news aspect, I just had to dive into this. And I'm going to reach out to Brock and hopefully have him on again. Maybe when one of his projects in the works comes out. And also, one of the interesting things here is the idea that what we're seeing on the right, and I was joking about Jordan Peterson, but no, I'm also not joking about Jordan Peterson. Some of those things you heard Brock say about Nexium legitimately sound a lot like some of these free thinkers and closet right wingers and open right wingers, straight up fascists. I mean, just let's take Jordan Peterson, being that I keep bringing him up. What about Peterson? What about Nexium that he brought up about their male feminism and old 50s way of looking at it, and how guys, you know, guys should be able to women should be loyal to their men, but guys should also be able to go out there and fuck whoever they want and plant their seed wherever. What about that didn't sound like that Jordan Peterson, specifically that Jordan Peterson article that dropped in the New York Times, where he said that monogamy is one of the things that are driving these young white men to kill, and that one of these things that needs to happen, and you've seen other writers talk about it, is that there should be some sort of redistribution of sex for these men, because that's how we solve their problems. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you serious? There is no difference there. A very small difference, if any. Just to amend myself to be a little bit more accurate. Between a cult like Nexium and these guys who are coming out of the intellectual dark web, of the libertarian movement, the free thinkers, whatever bullshit, classical liberalism, whatever bullshit they want to peg themselves as, to hide the fact that they are far right-wing extremists who have discovered an opening, thanks to the internet. Again, here we go with the Knife of Aristotle coverage, how it relates to Nexium, and how Nexium then relates to this stuff. These guys are seeing an opening with the internet to use the internet as a tool. While you can find plenty of articles about them that tear them to shreds, they've discovered they can use these tools to use the internet and prey on these young white men who are distraught and find themselves lost in the world. And they're saying, hey, we're going to give them a scapegoat. We're going to tell them it's Islam. We're going to tell them it's an assault on Western civilization. We're going to tell them that it's an attack on European values. We're going to tell them that it's the left. We're going to tell them that it's feminism. We're going to tell them that it's Antifa. And we're going to tell them it's all these people in their lives who are falling for this shit, and that they have to stand up and fight before they're completely lost and have no opportunity to rise back up again. And that, to me, is the scary thing about all this. As fun it is to talk about this stuff, as funny it is as it is to talk about this stuff, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And I thought it was specifically Nexium was a good way to, you know, the past four episodes have been about that. And I wanted to break it up while still talking about it. And let's read some. We got a lot of comments going on in the YouTube as we've started to talk. Let's go with this user, I think, is trying to pull a Nexium here with how they spell their username in the YouTube live stream feed here. 0XYZABCX0. got to run real fast. And then Ben Dankiewicz. Sorry if I've just destroyed your last name, because I'm sure it's not Dankiewicz. It's probably Dankiewicz. He really did have to run real fast. Yeah, he had told me he had a small amount of time, but we'd started a little bit late, and I guess I had lost track of just where we were because I was just so fascinated about this. Usually when we're talking about these far-right wingers, I'm able to interject with my own experience and my own work on these guys. But for this one, I had, you know, I had formed all my questions, and I was ready to just go along on the ride here. 10-foot man points out that Sam lectures endlessly on Social Security. Yes, that's true. I guess that would be very much like a Sam Cedar far-right wing cult. Right, right. Thanks, Sam. Well, actually, not far-right wing cults, because he's talking about saving Social Security. So that would be an example of a left-wing cult. Alex Jones, too, Renee points out, who I want to apologize to. Renee, I should have realized you spelled your name the way that a guy spells their name. Renee points out that Alex Jones, too, feeding you the lead pills to drive you crazy. Yeah, Alex Jones has a good example of someone using the business aspect of it, like how Nexium does, I guess, instead of using the religious cover. Alex Jones brings people in by saying he's talking about things no one else is, feeds his audience crazy conspiracy theories, says everyone else is lying about it, really bends things in his way so that it does sound truthful. And then instead of trying to bring these people to public speaking gigs and organized religion or organized action, he feeds them through a marketing tunnel, to use, sort of business lingo, a funnel. That's the word I want to use. To his InfoWars store, and in turn sells them pills and care packages of survival gear and survival food and his different weird liquids, just bizarre stuff he sells. So yeah, that's a great example of someone who uses these sort of business tactics to feed his conspiracy theorists and cult-like audience. Yes, for sure. Yeah. So that's our show for today. I would like to thank you all for tuning in live, and for people listening on the podcast, thank you for tuning into the podcast. You can support this show by becoming a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/MattBinder. All I ask for is $5 to support this show. You can also support this show by subscribing to the YouTube channel. Doomed.tv will bring you directly to the YouTube channel, so you don't have to remember any long YouTube-esque URLs. That's doomed.tv. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and leave a review on iTunes. That helps tremendously. 5-star reviews. If you would like to give us a 5-star review, I'm not going to tell you how to review us, but I'm guessing if you're listening this far in and you're liking what you're hearing, 5-star review sounds like one that you could give. Written reviews are a big help too. We're only, I think, a dozen reviews away from hitting 100 official ratings and reviews on iTunes. That's great. I can't thank you guys enough for doing that. This podcast hasn't even been around for half a year yet. You can also support the show by just telling your friends to listen to it. It's that simple. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Binder. Wait, hold on. Let me get to this YouTube comment here. T. Gorman 222. At what point will Jordan Peterson come out in tearful defense of the Juggalos? He won't, because the Juggalos aren't actually a cult or something terrible. It's just these interesting folks who like the Insane Clown Posse and all the bands, all the groups on their label, and they have a whole little fan base and following, like Deadheads or something like that. around them. It's really a shame that the whole story, maybe we'll do a show on that actually. Maybe I could try to get the ICP themselves. I shouldn't put that out there because who knows the odds of getting them on this. But someone who's talked about this, where the ICP has been placed and they've really tried and failed to get off this list, they've been juggalos who are no more than fans, what fans of the ICP call themselves. They've been placed on like an official FBI list of gangs. And there's a real story there about, A, the ICP and their fans, what they've been going through, but also in a broader sense, just how groups and people are placed on these lists. Like if juggalos are put on these lists, like, geez, like anyone can. Literally, we got people joking how Sam Cedar runs a cult in the YouTube stream right now. But literally, Sam has people who pay to listen to his show and support the show. What really is the difference here, except for the fact that I guess you guys haven't really given yourself any fun, quirky name to claim your place in the world as a Sam Cedar fan. A Cedarista, I guess, is one of the membership levels to become a Sam Cedar Majority Report subscriber. I guess if that got big enough, if there were enough Cedaristas in the world, maybe the FBI would come across 100 people calling themselves a Cedarista and be like, a cult, a gang, we should watch these guys. Right. But never the alt-right, as Renee points out, right. The alt-right who actually does do organized events and have people show up with tiki torches and marches and chants. Yeah, they're not on any dangerous lists, most dangerous lists or most wanted lists or FBI watch lists. Right, right. Fun. Great. Amazing. All right, guys. So that's our show for today. Please, by all means, check out Brock's work on this at Brock Wilbur. He has links to what he's written and what he has got in the works. And I will catch you guys all next week on Doomed. I'm free.